Much. Thank you so much, Tal, to the Shovals for hosting tonight. Today is the learning that we'll do should be L'Refush Shleima for Ari Leiba Ben Ella. Not sure if you heard today, there was a 40-year-old Ganenet, a mother of three, who was killed outside of Chevron. Her 12-year-old daughter was in that. She grew up in Efrat, they said. Oh, you do. Batsheva Nagiri is her married name. Her 12-year-old daughter was in the car behind, and the driver was someone from their community, Beit Chagai, who was father of six, 39-year-old, went out to get his kids school supplies, who was fighting for his life. He was evacuated to Soroka Hospital in Be'er Sheva. So the learning tonight should be L'Refuah Shleima for Aryeh Leib Ben Ella. His name is Aryeh Gottlieb. Aryeh Leib Ben Ella, L'Refuah Shleima. So the learning should be Zechus. So when we come to Parshas Ki Tse, I was already asked this week by one of the cute children in the community, sent me a voice note, Rabbi Marcus, how many mitzvos are in Parshas Ki Tse? Is it 20? Is it 30? So I sent him back that it's over 70. There are in fact 74 mitzvos in Parshas Ki Tse. 74, more than 10% of the Torah's mitzvos are in this one parsha. And of course, when you talk about the number 74, that is Begematria 8. Or Ad. And a lot of Mefarshim make a big deal about this. Some take it as aid, that the mitzvos that we commit ourselves to are testimony to the fact, the unique relationship of Hashem and the Jewish people, and this parsha with so many mitzvos bears that testimony. But the Lev Simcha of Ger, Zechus Yigin Aleinu, one of the Ger Rebbe, says that, what do you mean? During the month of Elul, it's not read as aid, it's read as Ad. V'shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha. That the purpose of mitzvahs, as the Zohar tells us, is to do what? To bind us to Hashem. So when we do mitzvahs, what's it doing? It's bringing us back to Hashem. So it makes sense that in the month of Elul, we're going to have the parsha that has more mitzvahs, Bechala Torah Kula, to give us this opportunity to come close to Hashem. And we start off the parsha with some really intense mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs that there are famous questions about. First and foremost, of course, we've discussed many times the mitzvah of Ben Sorer Umore, a very uncomfortable mitzvah. 13-year-old boy between 13 and 3 months, you know, what does he do? He gets a little drunk, he eats his steaks a little raw, takes some money out of his parents' pocketbook and purse, and Urgamul Bavani. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us famously, Daf Ayin Aleph Amar Aleph, Lo Haya Velo Yiyah. Ben Sorer Morah never was, it never will be. So why is the Ben Sorer Morah in the Torah? Drosh v'kabal schar, to learn it and receive reward. So obviously, so again, we've said many, many times, what does drosh v'kabal schar mean? It doesn't mean just, you know, God give us something else that you can learn and get extra mitzvah points, but rather drosh, delve deeply into the message of Ben Sorer Morah, and you're going to see tremendous, tremendous payoff, tremendous reward, tremendous guidance. So what is it that we're supposed to learn from Ben Sorer Morah? What are these very, very deep lessons? So one is from Rashi. And this Rashi, quoting an earlier Medrash, has so many philosophical implications for Judaism and mitzvos. Right? What does Rashi tell us? Rashi says, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the beginning of the parsha, Chaf Aleph Yud Aleph, V'lakachta L'cha L'isha, you go into war. Jewish soldier goes into war, sees a beautiful non-Jewish woman, and he takes her home with him, right? And there are certain procedures you have to go through, and ultimately he can marry her, right? He marries this Eishes Yifas Torah. So what does Rashi tell us? Rashi tells us, Lo Dibra Torah Ela Kenegedi Yitzar. The Gemara in Kiddushim Chaf Aleph tells us that the Torah was really speaking here to the Yetzirah, meaning that when a person is in battle, crazy things happen in battle, and a person's inhibitions are demolished. And the Torah is speaking to the Yetzirah of the person. The person's going to have such a tremendous Yetzirah there, and the Torah's going to say, listen, you want to be with that woman? You can, but under certain circumstances. Follow these procedures, and ultimately, you can be with this woman. But then, Shemein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matir Yisena B'Isser, if Hashem isn't Matir, he'll take her B'Isser. Avalam Nasa, Sofilios Sona, Shenemar Achrav Kisyan El Ish,
V'sofa laholid mimenu ben sorer umorel. L'kach nismichu parshios halalu. Rashi quotes a Sifri in Tanchuma that tells us that you have the section of Eishes Yafas Tawar. Then if a man is married to two women, and one he loves, one he hates, and they have, each has a son, which one is the Bechor? Even if the firstborn is to the hated wife, he's still the firstborn, he gets double. And then the third section is Ben Sorer Mora. So Rashi, quoting Midrashim, tells us that really this process that's going to unfold. If you marry an Eishes Yafas Tawar, eventually you're going to hate her. And eventually, the son from this marriage is going to be a Ben Sorer Mora. Now, Mefarshim say, but I don't understand. The Torah allows the man to bring home the Eishes Yafas Torah, right? So there's a yesod that the Divrei Shmuel of Slonim, or Shmuel Weinberg, Zechus Yigen Eleinu, quoted his grandfather, the yesod Havoda, Rav Avram Weinberg, the first Slonim Rebbe, who was a Talmud of Rav Moshe Mikobrin, has a very famous yisod from his grandfather, the yisod Havodah. He says, what's aser is aser, but what's mutter isn't necessarily a mitzvah. Again, what's aser is aser, what's forbidden is forbidden, but what's mutter isn't necessarily something that you should chase after. It doesn't mean that you necessarily run to do it, right? So often the question that we ask, well, is it aser? So that might not be the right question. Is it aser? The right question might be, is this going to bring me closer to Hashem? Is this going to bring me further away from Hashem? What are the implications? Right? And that's really what Rashi is telling us, meaning every action has a consequence. And even though something might be mutter, Eishes Yafas Tawar, it's mutter. The guy, if he went and asked his rabbi, he said, I asked the Shiloh of a posek, am I allowed to take this woman home with me and follow procedure? Yes. Comes back later. But look what happened to my house. He's like, okay, that's that what happens. But you told me it was mutter. Right. Lo dibra Torah, el keneged yitzahara. Rav Lichtenstein has a famous article, is there an ethic independent of halacha? Meaning, just because something might be mutter, doesn't, even from a Torah perspective, doesn't necessarily mean it should be done. That's why the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us, "Lonecha Rava Yerushalayim, Ela Shadon Dinei Torah." That in, why was Jerusalem destroyed? Because people were mapping. I don't want compromise. I don't want to tell me what the halacha is. Is the halacha the money mine? I'm taking the money. Don't tell me midas chasidus. Don't tell me what's nice. What's the halacha? And the Gemara says ultimately that led to the destruction of Yerushalayim. People being strict about what does the halacha say, not saying, what should I be doing? What's right? And again, philosophically, this has tremendous implications. I don't understand. If something's mutter, doesn't that mean that it's fine? And the answer is no. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's fine. Which in today's day and age, obviously, we'll see, has tremendous implications. Why? Because the Meshech Chachma, I brought the Meshech Chachma. Because today was his Yahrzeit, Dalet Elul, Remeir Simcha of Divinsk. Didn't have any children survived. He had one daughter who died from an illness in his lifetime. Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk was one of the greatest of the greats, like legend, the stuff of legends. I've told the stories about him many, many times. And he left us his Ar Sameach on the Rambam, his Meshech Chachma, some Chidushim on Shas. So he has, quote, a wild Tosefta Negayim about the Ben Sorer Mor. Again, Drosh Rekabal Schar. So one message from Ben Sorer Mor is that understand, every action has a consequence. You have to be able to live with what the consequences of your actions are down the road. Understand then. Ezo chacham haroa sanolad, meaning you have to try and look what the consequences will be. Just because in the here and now, right, Dibra Torah keneged yetzahara allows a man to take the Eishes Yafas Tawar. But Chazal tell us, understand that if you're acting based on that and you bring her home, it's not going to be good. We're telling you it's not going to be good. It's going to lead to bad things. But the Meshech Chachma says is another lesson of Ben Sorer Mor, and it's wild. It's a Tosefta Negayim. The Tosefta Negayim says, Amar Rabbi Nosson, De'ein Ben Sorer Mor Nasab Yerushalayim. You are not allowed to judge any young man as a Ben Sorer Mor in Yerushalayim. Even if he had all the delinquent behaviors, there was no such thing as a Ben Sorer Mor in Yerushalayim. Why not? Why couldn't you do it in Yerushalayim? So he tells us, because of a Gemara in Psachim and Zayin Amar Aleph, about, and again, it sounds crazy, but about the amount of gluttony that there was in Jerusalem. There was a lot of gluttonous behavior. And he says, why? And the Gemara talks about one person who used to eat, could eat 300 calves, drink 300 barrels of wine, and eat 40 sov pigeon as his dessert, right? The person, Yochanan ben Narva, yes. Meaning, again, it was obviously exaggeration, but he says, when you think about it, in Jerusalem, you had the Karban Todah. One person could not finish a Karban Todah. They were looking around. Who wants some meat? Who wants some bread? You had Karban Shlamims. Meiser Sheni, do you realize what Meiser Sheni was? 10% of what you grew, either brought to Jerusalem, you had to eat it there, you barely could eat it there, you'd redeem it to money, you'd go to fancy restaurants, and you'd invite people. Who wants a meal? So a person who lives in Yerushalayim, what happened? Ochlin basar harbe, v'yayin meiser sheni, l'chein in chait im ba hanar el midas hazolulus upashat. So Meir Simcha says, what's pshat in the Tosefta in the Gaim? That there was never a Ben Sarah Moore in Jerusalem. Says, how do you fault a boy who grew up totally eating steaks all the time and fressing and going to different restaurants all the time? He said, we're responsible for creating that characteristic in this young man. So how can we then go and kill him? How can we then go and judge him? And in fact, we know the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph tells us that was Moshe Rabbeinu's taina. One of Moshe Rabbeinu's tainas to Hashem on Har Sinai, right, was what? God, you caused the Egel. Hashem, you caused the Egel. How did Hashem cause the Egel? So the beginning of Devarim, right, the very beginning of Devarim, when Moshe is referring to what happened over the 40 years in the desert, so we know in the first pasuk, all of the places are referring to a different event that happened there. And what is the last thing mentioned in the pasuk, the last place? Vidi Zahav, and enough gold. Where is that? The Gemara says there wasn't a place. What happened? Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people, and Moshe said, it's your fault. They're slaves, and you gave them all this gold. You gave them all these diamonds. You gave them all this incredible wealth. What are they going to do with it? They were slaves. They didn't know what to do. They were totally overwhelmed. God, you have responsibility. And the Navi Micha says that Hashem says, you know what, you were right. Moshe was right. That I gave them so much gold, I gave them so much silver, and I bear partial responsibility for the sins. And so Meir Simcha of Divinsky is telling us here is that we have to recognize no Ben Sora Mor in Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim was a place, a festalos, right? Think like Sukkos when you were in Sem or, you know, Yeshiva, and you're like, you're just trying to get those meals at the Inbal or the King David or the Plaza. Like, some people like the Plaza invites, some people like the, back then it was called the La Rome invites, you know, the King Solomon. Now I hear the Waldorf is the big invite. You try to get the Waldorf invite, that's an invite. I've never stepped into the place. I don't know what it looks like. I can't tell you, right? But Lemaisa, Reb Shimshon Pinkus says that this is, he holds, is the biggest danger that we have today. Reb Shimshon Pinkus, who we know is the Rav down in Ofakim, he was a very, very unique person. So Reb Shimshon Pinkus, who grew up in Brooklyn, his brother-in-law used to be a Rosh Moshe years ago in I.O., believe it or not. But Reb Shimshon Pinkus points out that he says, once upon a time, the greatest danger to the Jewish people were alien philosophies. Ein bayis asher ein shames. Again, I had a great uncle. Great-grandfather was a Rashiva, was a Rebbe in Tarvadas. I had a great uncle who wanted to become a communist. Growing up in the house of a Rebbe in Tarvadas, he was obsessed with communism. My great-grandfather pulled a risky move. You know what he did? This is, I think, in the 1920s or 30s. He sent him to Russia. He said, you want to be a communist? Go to Russia. My great uncle was there for 2 years, came back. He said, communism is a total farce. It's all a lie. And his father said to him, Louis, it took you 2 years to figure that out? He said, no, Papa, I figured it out in 2 weeks. It took me the rest of 2 years to get out of the country. They didn't want to let me leave.
I mean, the father didn't realize how dangerous it was sending his son. He didn't understand. But he, Rav Pinchas says, back in the day, alien philosophies were like sweet, skala. I mean, in Volozhin, you had people who were apikorsim, who were heretics. In the greatest yeshiva in Europe, you had heretics that were there for the intellectual stimulation, that write down the notes from the shir that they heard on Shabbos, right? The Michal Shabbos, writing down notes that they'd hear from the Netziv, if you can imagine. It's like boggles the mind. But Rav Pinchas says, today, that's not the issue. What's the issue today? He says, exactly the message of Ben Sora Mora, that what the kid is doing, is the kid violating any Isser? Did he violate any Isser in the Torah? No. He didn't violate any Isser. The steaks are all Chassidish Shlita. The wines are all Mevushal. The sommelier was a Shomer Shabbos. No Isurim at all. Huh?
Doesn't he steal from his parents?
What? Take some money from his parents. The parents know that cash is missing? No. When our kids take...
That's different.
I don't know if that's stealing. I don't know if it's really stealing. I don't know if parents... When parents really considered it stealing? No, it took without permission from the parents. Would you call that stealing? I wouldn't call that stealing. I know when I... It is stealing?
Sure.
Really? When I took money from my mother's... Well, I knew she wouldn't care if I took $20 to go to the movie with my friends. Go bowling with my friends.
You didn't ask. You didn't say anything.
No. Maybe later. I was about to say right. Maybe later, Rocky. I would go and say, "Oh yeah, Mom. By the way, that $20 I took it from there, right?" But Rav Pinchas says, today's day and age, the greatest struggle is not communism and socialism. It's not humanism. It's hedonism. It's just indulging in ta'anuge olam hazeh. And the problem is, he says, what's the problem? That the geshmak that everyone gets is not from being a yid. It's from the tequila. Or from the steak. Or from the fancy, whatever it is, fill in the blank line. That's the problem. I always used to say in Eretz Yisrael it was different. Unfortunately, in subsequent visits, I think I remember one time my mother made a comment, it's so weird, I'm bringing back Israeli clothes for my grandchildren in America, but my grandkids in Israel all want the labels from America. Like, my mother's like, I'm so confused, I'm bringing kosher casual for my grandkids in America, but my grandkids in Israel, they want the fancy dresses and this and that, the spitz things, right? But this is the problem everywhere. And the question Rav Pinchas said in one of his shmuzin is, where do we get our gishmak? It's a beautiful song. Gishmak to be a yid, gishmak to be a yid. But is that really where we're getting our gishmak? He says, that's the greatest lesson of Ben Sora Mora. Drosh v'kabaschar, learn the lesson of Ben Sora Mora. Yes, that even things that are totally mutter, with the best hashgachas, and under all the mashgichim in the world, there's no chance of reading a bug in that lettuce. You know what I mean? But it's the whole experience. You know, Professor Shalom Karmi from Yeshiva University wrote an article years ago, is there such a thing as glatt kosher club med? Remember, there used to be a thing called Club Med back in the day? There is? There still is? There is. So Professor Karmi wrote an article years ago in Tradition. Because one Club Med said, glatt kosher Club Med. And Professor Karmi said, is it possible to have a glatt kosher Club Med? What does that mean? Right? And again, we're not forgetting anyone wants to have a beautiful vacation. Enjoy the vacation. Shalom al Yisrael. That's not bad. That's not wrong. But everything in context. Everything has to be put into context. And, you know, that's what he says, he believes, is one of the most important messages of Ben Sora Mora. He thinks it's one of the timeliest mitzvahs. Again, it seems so antiquated, seems so crazy, what? So nuts. But he says he thinks one of the most important lessons in the whole Torah is in Ben Sora Mora. It's akin to the Ramban in Kedoshim Tiyu, of being a menuvel birshus HaTorah. The Ramban says, what does Kedoshim Tiyu mean, be holy? It means that if a person, without Kedoshim Tiyu, a person can become a lowlife. All by not violating an halacha, but you can become a lowlife. You become a zolol v'sove. That all it's about is about the hedonistic experiences. Everything with hashgacha. Everything with the stamp. But you're missing the whole point. you're missing the whole point. And that's that. During the month of Elul, of course, is a very important reminder for each and every one of us. For each and every one of us. And again, this is, I think, the struggle of our day and age. Remember when Rav Cheshbon and coming back to America, that was my biggest concern. The coming back to America, you become too gashmi. Again, back in the day, Beit Shemesh was a little bit different. But still, it's the biggest issue. And it cuts across all segments of Judaism, all segments of Orthodoxy. I won't tell you the conversations I heard in Hasidic Shtiblach by little kids, very wealthy Hasidic kids, about their buildings and about their, it's across the board. And what we have to do is we have to reclaim what it really means to Gishmak to be Yid. Is it Gishmak for us to be Yid? And that's a struggle. And that's what we have to do for ourselves and, of course, for our families. And that's one lesson from the beginning of the Parsha. There is another very important lesson later on in the Parsha from a Rashi that seems to contradict the Pasuk. Right? The Pasuk tells us in Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, and again, this also something bothered me for years. We're just learning something about it in one Mefarsh, but we're going to share another perspective. Lo yavo amoni moavi bekal adunoi, gam dar asiri lo yavo lahem bekal adunoi ad olam. A man from the nation of Amun or Moav cannot enter the community of Hashem, cannot enter the Jewish people, even the 10th generation ad olam, forever. It is interesting, right before Mamzer it says, Gam dor asiri lo yavol b'kal Hashem, but doesn't say ad olam. That's an interesting, if we have time, we'll see that distinction. And why can't someone from Amun and Moab enter kal Hashem? Al devar shelo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim baderech b'teischem mitzrayim. Because they didn't come with bread and water while you were leaving Egypt. You're going through a desert, and Amun and Moab didn't extend that kindness. V'asher, and also, and that Sachar Alecha is Bilam ben Ba'ar, Bipsar Ram Naraim Lakalecha. And they also hired Bilam to curse you. So two reasons why someone from Amun and Moav can't come to Kal Hashem. But you know what Rashi says? Rashi gives a different reason. What reason does Rashi give? Rashi says, Pasuk Hey Aldavar, Al Ha'etze Sheyoatzu Eschem Lahachatischem, Kidachsiv Bidvar Bilam. So he says, you know why they can't join? Because of the plan that they made to get you to sin with Baal and the Benos Moav. One second, what's Rashi saying? I don't understand. I thought the reason why they can't enter into Jewish people is because they didn't extend kindness. And there are many who say that's what it is, right? Why? Because of Nevin Zal in a famous Shmuz we've quoted many times, points out that Avram sends Eliezer to his family, they're idolaters. They mamash ovdei avodah zarah. So here, Amun and Moav, it's about chesed, not about, what's the issue? So that's exactly the point. We don't care about the hashkafa. The question is, what's the essential midos? And the essential midos of Amun and Moav were not to be nosnim, not to be givers. And that, right in of itself, passels them, cancels them out. However, Rashi's saying there's a different shot. Because of the sin that they did. So listen to what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisma Gedol Legima Shechika Shtei Mishpachos Mishrael. Great is providing food for travelers, for people that need, because of the lack of extending themselves and giving food to people that need. What happened? Two families were pushed away from the Jewish people, meaning Amon and Moav. They were our cousins, right? Amun and Moav from our cousins, from the Benos Lot, and they're pushed away because they didn't extend this kindness. But then, Rabbi Yochanan did they? So that was Rabbi Yochanan in the name of his Rebbe. But Rabbi Yochanan himself says, Mirachekes es hakrovim, it distances those that are close. Umikareves eres harachokim, brings close those that are far. Umaalemes einayim min harishoim. And it causes God's eyes to be hidden from the wicked. What does this mean? So it continues on. The Gemara says, what does it mean it pushes away those that are close? That was Amun and Moav. What does it mean that giving food to someone who needs brings close those that are far? The Gemara says, Yisro. Yisro was a priest, right? Kohen, Midian. And who did he give food to when he was on the way, when he was running away? Moshe. Moshe is a fugitive from Egypt. The Benos Yisro come back and they said, what are you doing? He said, Ish Mitzri Yitzilanu, an Egyptian man saved us. He said, where is he? Bring him in. Maybe he needs food. So the Gemara of Yochanan says, the fact that he offered food to Moshe Rabbeinu, that act of chesed caused the great-great-grandchildren of Yisro to sit on the Sanhedrin in the Lishkas HaGazas. That was his chus. What does it mean, Ma'alemis Einayim Min HaRishon? What does it mean that it hides eyes, the eyes from Rishon, from wicked people? So the Gemara says, because of Micha. Who was Micha? Right, remember Sefer Shoftim, Pesel Micha, great-great-grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, who had an idol. He was a very wealthy guy. He Pesel Micha, he created his own temple, he had his own Kohanim, like rampant idolatry. During the time of the Shoftim, it was like helter-skelter. It was chaos what was going on in the land of Israel. And a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu was one of the biggest idol worshippers, this big, very wealthy guy. And you know what happened to Micha? Nothing. You know why nothing happened to him? Because you know what Micha also did with his wealth? He said anyone that was traveling along the way, the guy needed food, drink, place to stay. Micha was the ultimate machnas orphan. He was the ultimate Baal Chesed. And Rabbi Yochanan says that because of his Chesed, what happened? He was protected from a very big aveira of Avodah Zarah. So now we understand what Rashi's telling us. Right? Do you hear what Rashi's saying? Now we understand the contradiction between Rashi and the Pasuk. It's so beautiful. Why? What does the Pasuk say the reason is that Ammon and Moab can't join the Jewish people? Right? And they hired Bilam to curse you. What does Rashi say the reason is? Because they got you to sin with what? With Baal, with Avodah Zarah, and the Benos Moav. So you know what Pshat is? Rashi's telling us, really? Hashem would have overlooked the sin of the Benos Moav. Hashem would have overlooked even the fact that they got the Jewish people to worship Baal, one of the most disgusting Avodah Zarahs. They would have been given a free pass. They would have been exempt. If what? If what? If they did chesed. Chesed has such a power to protect. You can't imagine. Again, Micha was an idolater. He got so many Jews to worship idols. But he was also Baal Chesed, and hence he was protected. And hence he maintains his wealth. And it's a wild thing. But that's
very
pshat here.
Contradictory in a personality. Yeah.
Right. Well, sometimes certain averes refer to ki chesed hu. Right, certain sins come from an abundance of chesed. Right, they're so giving, and you give a little too much in different ways. But this idea that Rashi's not contradicting the pasuk, Rashi's telling us, you know why they can't join the community? Because they didn't do chesed. But meaning the real reason was Avodah Zarah. But the Avodah Zarah would have been overlooked if they would have done chesed. This is why Tshuva Tfilot Staka Mavir Nesra HaGezeira. This is why Rabbi Yisrael Salanter famously said one of the surefire ways of having a good din is to be a person that the community needs. You're a person who does for others. That is one of the greatest zechusim a person can have going into the Yom Noram. This is why. Make sure you're up to your meiser before Rosh Hashanah. I know some people choose December 31st for obvious reasons we mentioned, but we try to make sure that we've given our tzedakah properly in the month of Elul. Go over the checkbooks, go over the credit card receipts, making sure that we're giving tzedakah, that we're really extending ourselves as Baalei Chesed, because that is one of the greatest zechus you can have. And that's what some mefarshim say, that a mamzer lo yovo lo bekal Hashem, but doesn't say ad olam. There is a way a mamzer's children can enter the Jewish people. There is a halachic way that it can happen. Right? So it's not ad olam, but by an Ammoni Moavi, it's ad olam. Why? And some say, because ultimately the sin of a mamzer's parents is to Hashem, and Hashem said, okay, I'll overlook it. But Ammon and Moav, that lack of chesed and getting us to sin in that way, that's too much. That's too much, and we can't overlook that. That's something that we can't overlook. So here we see a second very important idea of the centrality of chesed. Yom Naram, we often think about our relationship with Hashem, right? And our relationship with ourselves. But of course, we all know that Hashem won't forgive you for Ben Adam L'Chaveru until you get Mechila from others. So we think about, you know, who have I hurt? But we need to think in the other way. We need to think in the positive. How much am I out there? How much chesed am I doing? How many people am I touching in a given week? How many people am I making a difference to in their life in a given week? And again, there's so many ways to do it. In today's day and age, it's really not hard. You know, text 3 people a day that you know, I'm really, like, how are you? What's going on? I was just thinking about you. Randomly. Do you know what, the difference that can make to people? It really makes a big difference. Go through people you haven't spoken to in a long time. Tell, want to wish you a Ksivach Sima Tova, just send a text. Send a voice note. Little things. Mamash, you brighten a person's day, can make a huge difference. And that's what Rashi's telling us. The worst sins, Avodah Zarah, Gil Yarayis, could all be protected by Chesed. It's a wild idea. So 2 things. Again, this idea of Le'ovo Amoni Moavi, two ideas from Ben Sora Morer. 1, every action has a consequence. Again, the very Shmuel quoting Yisod Havoda, just because something's mutter doesn't mean it's a mitzvah. Just because something's mutter doesn't mean we run to it. Right? And as Rav Pinkus said, he thinks the greatest challenge today is not the Haskalah, it's not communism, it's not humanism, it's hedonism. And is it really gishmak to be a yid for us? Again, it's gewaldigesong. But do we really feel that? I'll just end with very briefly, I realize it's a little over time, just end briefly with an idea we share many, many times. I think every year, Parshas Ki Tetzeh, I share this idea from Rav Pam, in one way or another. Whether I share it at the Woman's Shiur, in the Perkei Avos Shiur, I mention it in Shul on Shabbos, at Shalosh Shudis, but it's such a powerful idea. Lo sesayiv adomi ki achicha hu, lo sesayiv mitzri, ki ger hayisa be'artzo. Right? You hear that pasuk said? Lo sesayiv mitzri, ki ger hayisa be'artzo. Don't push away a mitzri because you were a stranger in their land. And what does that mean? Rashi says, lo sesayiv mitzri mikol v'kol, even though he threw your baby boys into the river and drowned them, why don't you reject him? But Lamaisa, they gave you a place to stay when things were tough. Right? When there was a famine in Eretz Canaan, Egypt brought you in. Despite the fact that they took thousands of children, millions of children, according to some accounts, depending which midrashim you look at, and threw them into the river, or slit their throats to hang them, to drain their blood, so Paro could bathe in the blood of the children, the Yerushalmi tells us, because he was a Mitzora, and it was the only thing that made his Saras feel better. But Lamaisa, they gave you a place to stay. It sounds almost comical, right? But Rav Pam says, Rav Avram Pam, Zatzal was your site, was just last week, says, imagine if we really took this lesson of Rashi to heart in our own personal relationships. So often, people have friendships, people have relationships that through so many hard times and good times, they're there with you, crying with you, sharing with you, and then something happens. There's one thing that happens, and you get insulted. They did something stupid. They said something not nice. And what happens to a relationship of 10 years, of 20 years, of 30 years? What do you do to that relationship? It's gone. Tom says, it's gone. A relationship of 10 years is gone because of one stupid comment. A relationship of 20 years is gone because of one thoughtless act. And that was hurtful, what that person did. Like, I get it. I totally get it. But Rav Pam says, you know what Rashi is telling us? What the Torah is telling us. Lo sesayiv mitzri ki ger hayisa be'artzo. Yeah, they did horrible things. But we can't reject them entirely because at one point they were there for us. Meaning the negative doesn't cancel out the good. And Rav Pam says, how many familial relationships, how many friendships, how many colleagues at work, how many, you know, like, think about the list that can go on for and on, that there were so many years of good things, and something happened bad, and just everything gets thrown out. He says, it's not what the Torah wants. He says, it's just not what the Torah wants. And every year I repeat it. Every year, literally every year I repeat it, because this is one of the issues in human nature, right? We all suffer from this. We all have those relationships. We all have these struggles. And every year I think it's worth it to review that simple nekuda from Rav Pam, because I know it helps me remember things, about putting things in context, and Bez Hashem, it could help you as well. Once again, thank you so much for hosting. And just a shout out to Michelle. Really, Michelle, each time that we have a shiur that's not two people, I think of you. No, I think of you. It's unbelievable. It was all your idea, like about a year ago. I think it was Hazinu, the first week at the bat. Oh, the first one was you, right? It was amazing, amazing. So you should go after you, Michelle, really. Well, it should be a zechus for Michelle, all the star also, and everyone.